This morning we have a wonderful, concise, and essential passage to reflect on this Refugee Awareness Sunday. It comes to us from Exodus chapter 23, verse 9. You shall not oppress the resident alien, for you know the heart of the alien, and you were aliens once in the land of Egypt. Just a few chapters before our passage this morning, back in chapter 20, God gave the Israelites what came to be known as the Ten Commandments. You know the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods. You shall not take the name of God in vain. Do not murder, do not steal, etc., etc. Even if you know nothing about the Bible, nothing about the Judeo-Christian tradition, chances are you know something about the Ten Commandments, which were given by God to the people, not as an onerous burden, but as a gift, with rules for the covenant relationship between God and God's people that were designed to give life. As good as the Ten Commandments are, they are not comprehensive. Human relationships are messy and complicated, and it turns out that you need more than 10 rules to help you live a life in a way that brings life to you and to everyone around you. So Exodus gives us not only chapter 20 and the Ten Commandments, they give us chapter 21 and chapter 22 and chapter 23, which are just filled to bursting with commandments designed to bring life. The particular guideline from Exodus 23, verse 9, that we are given is especially important on this Refugee Awareness Sunday, as I said. And again, I'll give it to you. You shall not oppress the alien. You know the heart of the alien, and you were once aliens in the land of Egypt. At the end of Genesis and the beginning of Exodus, we're told the story of how the Israelites were forced to become refugees themselves. That they were forced by famine to move from their homeland to Egypt, which was abundant with grain. They were there for a while, and over time they became prosperous and they multiplied, which was great, except for that was all a threat to Pharaoh. And as threatened power so often does, Pharaoh decided to oppress and enslave the people. That went on for too long. But after a while, God enacted a plan to free the people and to bring them to the Promised Land. So God called Moses, who led them out through parted waters and into the wilderness. Freedom came quickly, but the Promised Land not so quickly. And it was in the wilderness while they were wandering that God came to the people and gave them the Ten Commandments and all of the other commandments too. As part of that list of commandments comes our one sentence, which starts with a commandment and ends with a history lesson. And the question that is raised for me in this passage today, especially on this particular Sunday, is the question of why? Why not oppress the alien? Why not persecute the foreigner? Why not exploit the refugee? Why and why not? Let's pray. Loving God, we take time this morning to break open to your word and break open our lives too. Help us to think about immigration, about the refugees in and among us, and about what your word has to say to it all. Amen. I do not claim to know the mind of God, but I have thought and prayed a lot about immigration and refugees from a biblical perspective for a long time now, And I have a few words of wisdom I'd like to share with you for your reflection and for our discussions. I think there's three good reasons God gives us for why not to oppress the alien. So first, we shouldn't oppress the aliens because we are all aliens. Do you remember that time you started a new school or moved to a new community or started to a new job and you didn't know anyone? Do you remember that time when you realized that your sexuality was not the dominant heterosexuality? Do you remember that time when you were surrounded by people who were a different skin color, spoke a different language, or came from a different culture? Do you remember that time where you felt other and like a resident alien? Now, to be sure, not all of us are refugees or immigrants in a strict sense. And certainly there are many ways of being an alien that are more dangerous and more vulnerable than in other ways. But still, all of us, each in our own ways, we are aliens. We are uprooted, wanderers, motherless children who are far away from home. The second reason we should not oppress the alien is not only because we are all aliens, but also because we are aliens, as Exodus teaches us, that we know the heart of the alien. I like the literal Hebrew translation here better. That we know the sojourner's soul. That we shouldn't oppress the alien because we know the sojourner's soul. Which to me means that we know, it's as present as our heartbeat and close as our breath, we have that shared experience of being those who are not home, wandering and uprooted. And because of that, we don't not only know refugees and immigrants and resident aliens, but that we are those. And we don't just know that intellectually, we know that in our very soul, that we know the sojourner's soul. So when we oppress the alien, we're really oppressing ourselves, which is a form of self-hate and self-violence and no good at all. Well, lastly, I want to say that we should not oppress the aliens for the simple reason that when we do, it brings death to them and to all of us. Right? Remember how I said that the Ten Commandments and all the other commandments were given to us not as onerous burdens, but as gifts to bring life to all of us. And so when we do the things that God tells us not to do, we bring not life, but we bring death. So we shouldn't oppress the resident alien because it brings death to them and also death to ourselves and to everyone. So putting this all together then, why should we not oppress the resident alien? Because we are all aliens. Because we know the sojourner's soul. And because oppressing the aliens brings death. All right. I said there was only three reasons why I think that we shouldn't oppress the resident alien, but I'm going to offer you a fourth from my own experience. And that's this. That whenever I welcome the stranger, extend radical hospitality to the refugee and the immigrant, without exception, my life has been made better. I've expanded and grown. I've been pushed and challenged. I have been exposed to good food and good culture, to be sure. And in big ways and in little ways, when I have welcomed the stranger, my life has been made better. Oh, sure, Pastor, you might be saying to yourself, but you don't live on the southern border of this country where there's a real problem down there and undocumented migrants causing all kinds of problems and putting people at risk. It's a real problem. Sure, you might be thinking that you don't live in community with people who are newcomers and are driving up rents and taking our jobs. Sure, you might be thinking, Pastor, you live in Vermont, and you are insulated in many ways from the real problems that we're facing in this country due to refugee influx and immigration, both legal and undocumented. I get it. I do. My story is not the same as other stories. And my experience is not the same as everyone else's experience. But I know this, that right in the heart of Scripture, right in the section where we have the Ten Commandments and all the other commandments designed to bring life, that God told us not to oppress the alien. And I believe that's as valid now as it was when it was written thousands of years ago. So regardless of your experience or your opinion or your political affiliation or how you vote, remember not my promises but God's promises. Not my truth but God's truth. That when we welcome the stranger, when we don't oppress the resident alien or exploit the refugee, that that brings life to them and to all of us. So some things to think about and to pray about and to discuss and to practice. Some things to wrestle with in your sojourner's soul. Amen.